Hey, this is LGBTQ and A. I'm Jeffrey Masters, and this is a show to get to know different members of the LGBTQ community. Today, I'm talking to Channy Nicholas. Channy is a writer and astrologer, best known for making astrology approachable and useful, as well as using it a tool for social justice. Stay tuned. Hey, Channy.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk. Before we get to it, though, I just want to say to the people listening, thank you. If you want to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on iTunes, specifically leaving a comment is a really big help for us. And as always, we love hearing from you. So if you have suggestions for other guests, feel free to tweet at me. I think that's the easiest way. I tweet from JeffMasters1. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get to it.
Let's do it.
A big reason why I like your work and why I think a lot of people like it is because it's so inclusive and intersectional. Mm. And I think that for an ancient art, you really make it feel current. Mm. Is that something that you hear a lot?
Yeah. I hear that I don't know about the current piece, but that it brings true for folks.
I think I say current because sometimes you read astrology and it's like a good thing will happen in the future, but in the future, at some point, something gonna happen. But for your work, it feels like it was written today.
Right.
Like for 2017 with this certain person in the White House. And
right. It is.
You know?
I don't seek to write for everybody, and I don't seek to please everybody. I actually just write to please the muse that I'm writing for or with. And so there's a certain type of voice that comes through, and my job is to serve that. And if it resonates with people, then that's just lucky. Or that's just a bonus. And that's great. And of course, there's a part of me that's also an activist and I want to be able to serve my community in some way. And so there's that. That's the feeling that is behind. That's my motivation for writing them. The horoscopes are meant to be healing or used as tools for healing.
Yeah.
And if I can do that, then I'm happy. And I don't really care about being... I'm not trying to get your life right. That's not my job. I'm just trying to use the tool that I've been given, which is astrology. I don't know why I was given that tool, but it's the thing I've got to use. So to use it in the best way that I can possibly use it.
And how much room for interpretation is there? Because I feel like anyone can learn to read charts, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it has to be like a language that you feel like is interesting to you. Like some people, it doesn't land. It doesn't sit. They like to have readings, but they're not able to retain some of the information. Like for me, I'm not good. Math is just a hard subject for me, even though I'm an astrologer, but it's something that it's really hard for me to hold on to. I can learn it and then it kind of, and so I feel like astrology is like that. It either lands with people because it makes an impression on them in some way that helps them make sense of life,
yes,
or it doesn't. The thing with the interpretation of it is when you're working in terms of like a symbolic system, then we can read those symbols in different ways. So I'm trying to read those symbols in ways that are interesting to me, right? So that they're ways that are talking to the issues that I see folks going through.
Yeah. And that clearly resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah. I think that you
also... I was always surprised about that.
Oh, really?
Shocked. I thought, when I started writing, I thought, no one is going to... Like, this is... No one's at this intersection. No one who's into astrology is also political. I don't know why I thought that, but I just didn't know a lot of politically savvy folks that deemed astrology worthy of reading. I thought that everybody that was educated was like, oh my God, astrology, because it has such a bad rap.
Well, I wonder if that's why you make it clear, and tell me if you disagree, but you make it clear that this is a tool for self-reflection, to reveal what might or might not be working in your life, and not a way to tell the future.
Right.
I don't think you've ever claimed to be a fortune teller.
I always say I'm not a fortune teller.
That's really?
Not me. Yeah. People write me all the time about all sorts of things, but people, when I used to do mainly readings, they'd be like, well, can you tell me this? And I'd say, that's not my work. Other astrologers do that, and that's their thing, but that's not me, and I don't want to do that. So you need to find somebody else.
But would every astrologer answer like that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's tricky. It's tricky because astrologers over the arc of time, and when I say that, I mean like the last 2,000 years, have gone in and out of favor with the ruling class, right? Like, we used to be really in favor, and then we'd, and then with the dawn of Christianity, or the construction of the paradigm of Christianity, a lot of that, all of the witch burnings and all of the kind of hunting out and rooting out those that are other, the construction of other.
Yeah.
Astrologers, in a sense, have gotten put in that category. And of course, there's astrologers that are scam artists, just like there are, you know, people in any class of, in any profession that are the same thing. But for some reason, well, for many reasons, we have that, we have like a, there's a great public fear and a great public skepticism. When you say you're an astrologer, it's not neutral. When I say I'm an astrologer, I don't get neutral reactions. I either get like, oh my God, I'm a da da da, tell me something about myself, which is obnoxious in of itself. Or you get the, oh, like you're a thief.
Oh,
you're
or a liar. Like you're a crazy woman.
Yeah, well, or you're
oh, they automatically think you're lying.
They think I'm dishonest.
Wow.
There's a whole stereotype of the, you know, person that is telling fortunes just for the money and you know, manipulating people and doing all that stuff, which of course happens, but it happens in every profession. It's one of those stigmas.
I have to wonder if social media existence has helped you, since you like looking in now, like you're
totally
wearing a denim shirt, like, you know, you, I hate the word normal and I keep using it, but you look normal. You look relatable, as I said, approachable. And
right,
I wonder
right.
if they're like, oh, well, this like woman can't
I'm
be
not
lying
wearing
to me.
A muumuu with like stars and planets.
Yeah, exactly. You're not wearing some like culture appropriated like fabric wrapped around your head.
No,
you know?
Not. Oh my God.
It helps trust you.
Okay, good.
You're wearing my favorite fabric, denim. Or is that chambray? Sorry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, I think that
yeah.
like lends yeah. credibility when they can give a face that they trust.
Right.
You mentioned Christianity. This is not a religion. It's not like not a, is it a science? Like, what classification does it fall under?
It's such a good question. You know, certain astrologers will say, well, there is an argument to make for it, astrology being a type of science. Some astrologers will just say it's an art form. I like to think of it as just a system that can help us to heal, and it's a system that can help guide our lives. And it's a system that evokes a sense of awe about life, because it's all about understanding the correlations of things. And so it's like when I'm looking at the astrology and I'm looking at my life or my wife's life or friends or my clients, and I'm watching this correlation happen, it is mind-blowing. I don't know why it works. I just know that it does.
Yeah.
So there's a mark in the sky, and then someone's born under that mark, and I can look at their chart and say, oh, wow, this piece of life is so complex, and unfold a story about it. And then they'll tell me the same story. Just give me the specifics of what it was. So it's an amazing tool if you resonate with it. And if you don't, then don't worry about it. Move on.
Yeah.
People love to like tell me that they don't believe in it. And I'm like, great, don't believe in it. I don't care.
You're like, I don't want to convince
you. Use what works for you.
Yeah.
That's all
I think that in terms of religion, mm-hmm. organized religion doesn't work for a lot of people. And it's mm-hmm. easy for them mm-hmm. to not believe in that and cast off all spirituality in general.
Right.
When there's
sure.
two different things.
Sure, sure, sure.
So, like, I'm Jewish. I love our traditions and our cultures. Mm-hmm. I love our people. Mm-hmm. In terms of a name for like a higher mm-hmm. power, mm-hmm. I don't quite have language for a word I'm comfortable with.
Right.
But it's not God or like higher energy, the universe. I don't know.
Right.
But I would like to say I don't believe in anything, but that doesn't honor like the kind of mystical things that I experience.
Right.
In life
right.
and like the correlations, I guess,
right.
with what you said.
Right. And we were talking earlier, like to be Jewish is to struggle with those things. You're supposed to ask that question. You're supposed to doubt the whole thing.
Yeah.
You're supposed to wrestle. And that's the beauty of Judaism.
Do you find, and so I guess for you, the two can coexist, or do they?
Judaism and astrology?
Yes.
Well, I say this a lot too, but Ibn Ezra, have you ever heard the name Ibn Ezra?
No.
So he's a rabbi that a lot of rabbis quote and talk about, like his midrash, right? So there's rabbis from a long, long time ago that you'll hear about in temple. He is an astrologer. So there were There were rabbis that were astrologers. There were Jewish philosophers that were astrologers. It didn't used to be separate from our way of being. So beginning in Mesopotamia and then being unpacked throughout the years through that swath of land, northern Africa, southern Europe, all that where Jews were back then, specifically, that and other cultures, all of those cultures had astrology within their systems of knowledge, within their systems of government, within, and it wasn't necessarily, it's not a religious thing. It was a knowledge system. And that's how astronomy began. The astronomers that we talk about, like Ptolemy, were astrologers as well, because they weren't separate. That was not a separation until later.
And I'm guessing that was intentional, too, to separate them by those in power, right?
Yeah. It's intentional not to mention it.
Ah.
And then it's also, then it gets buried and then it gets forgotten.
Oh, we've been doing that for a while, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But astrology's always been there. There's a temple in Israel-Palestine that has a Jewish temple that has a zodiac on the floor, in the tiles, in a temple.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Do you, 2,000-year-old astrology is, do you feel that connection to, these other practitioners?
You mean to the lineage of astrologers?
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. I'm a lineage person, though. I really get off on lineage stuff. Like, my teacher, Demetra George, is somebody who translates and unpacks those older texts. So we're always having conversations about this astrologer and that astrologer. And I love it because it's not that they were so right or that they're better or that ancient stuff is the only thing. But it was rooted in a very complex and beautifully complete system of knowing and of knowledge and of being. And it was at a time where we didn't have technology and stuff. So everything was about how it was universally appearing in nature. And we were watching the sky and making meaning out of it. And for some reason, that meaning still holds true thousands of years later.
Oh, because the practice of astrology has not changed in 2,000 years. I'm guessing.
It has. It has changed because the Western astrology had to go underground for a long time and was hidden in libraries and hidden. Certain cultures would hide it and then translate it into their language. So it would go from Arabic and then it would get translated into ancient Greek and then moved around in different languages and different sources. So different peoples, different cultures held it for different time periods in a sense.
Wow.
And then it would get and then it got stuck, a lot of the texts got stuck in a library and they weren't found for hundreds of years. It's wild how we have the stuff that we have. But if you go to India, their astrology has never been broken. So they never had to hide their astrological knowledge. And so their lineage is really unbroken. Our lineage is fragmented and broken, but the astrology of India and the astrology that I'm talking about came about at the same time. And because of the trade routes between all the different countries, they influenced each other. And so there's some similarities or there's some things you can say, oh, they were talking to each other and they definitely had these ideas and they were constructing them and exploring them together.
But then they would take those ideas to their own town and morph it. It's telephone.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think that's why astrology, and again, tell me, if, I don't want to tell you about astrology. But I feel like it can get a bad name because someone reads their chart and then their friend's having a bad day and they're like, oh, you're having a bad day because of this. And through telephone, it changes.
It's so bad. And so much, and social media has been so great. It's given me my career, which I could never have had the career that I have 10 years ago. But it also means that all of these tropes that people are just making up get passed around. And you're just none of this has any weight anymore. Nothing's about, it's not from anywhere. It's not because, it's just, it's such a mishmash.
Yeah. I think it's so fascinating, too, that if this is, you're an entrepreneur. This is your business.
Right.
That's huge. When did it become a career, not just a hobby or an interest?
Well, it's for as long as I said yes to giving people readings, it's always been a part of how I've made money. For certain amounts of time, I stopped doing it because I needed to not do that. But so it's always been a part of my thing. And I've always been a bit of an entrepreneur. I've always been somebody who's worked for myself and just strung a whole bunch of things together just to make it work. And then the astrology just started to take over. It just was nope, sorry, you can't, nothing. It's just me. And that was through the with alongside the evolution of social media within the last, I would say, 5 years, right? So it's really, we've really changed how we are and who we are, how we do all the stuff within, and every day it all changes. So yeah, it's been within the last like 5-6 years that it's been a solid.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I imagine from a business and time management perspective, it's a lot of time and energy spent on something that for horoscopes expire at the end of the week.
Yeah, they're over. It's done.
That's a wild amount of work for that.
Yeah. And if you, you know, I mean, my wife will attest to this, but it's like the amount that I like agonize over something is just, it's not, it's like, Jesus, Channy. Going to be, no one's going to read this again next week.
It's like the flower that blooms like once a month.
Yeah It's just like, okay, done. So I have to get better. It's like I'm a extreme perfectionist, and so I want it to be as good as it possibly can, and then I also just have to get on to the next thing.
Yeah. So you publish weekly horoscopes. How many hours does it take to do each one?
You know, on a good week, it'll take me 2 days, 2 solid working days to write that.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the beginning, it always has taken me 2 days, 2 to 3 days. In the beginning, I wasn't making, you know, it is free labor still, because those things are free, but they help the rest of my business run. But in the beginning, that was just a labor of love.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the advertising too. Like, it leads people to certain things.
Yeah.
Two full days. Wow.
Yeah.
I guess like other, like,
which, you know, if you look at the thing, you might be like, why would it take so long to write that? But you have to come up with an original thought about each specific situation astrologically each week for each sign. So it's like, I want it to be like a little poem, a little, you know.
Well, I think that your writing ability really separates you from other astrologers as well. Mm. You're able to communicate ideas, but also to make it like pleasant to read, you know? Like, that's such a big thing.
Yeah. I verge on being a little too poetic sometimes.
It's okay. I really loved your Mother's Day post, actually. Oh. It was almost poetry, but...
Right.
Like, we want to hear that. It separates it from...
Right.
...the other garbage out there. No offense to people making garbage, though.
Trash is still needed.
Yes, exactly. You've said that this can be a tool for like, social justice, for, like, the liberation. Am I putting words in your mouth?
I think everything is a tool for liberation. I think I think whatever we have at our disposal, whatever our job is, whatever medium we have to work with, whatever our gift is, should be, and that's my judgment, should be used as a tool for justice in the world and on the planet, and liberation. I think that there's no reason, especially at this point in our history, not to wake up and see that. Like, if it's at all possible for us to use what we have, how is being selfish at all interesting at this point? You know what I mean? There's so much at stake.
Yeah.
All the time. In every single faction of life, everything is being threatened at this moment. And so whatever it is that you do can be used as a tool. Like, even going to the grocery store and having a conversation with somebody at the grocery store can be a really important thing to do and to take part in and to be engaged with your community.
That is something I think about a lot, these small personal moments and how they lead to, honestly, for lack of a better word, the revolution.
Yeah.
And when somebody says something disparaging about, you know, a different member of the LGBTQ community and I don't speak up, it haunts me for weeks.
Sure, as it should.
And I just imagine them repeating that, you know, every day of their life.
Right. Yeah. And then if also we're engaged with conversation, then in conversation, in some sort of, you know, light but also meaningful conversation, then it opens up a channel of that being okay, right? That we don't have to pretend that everything's okay all the time. We can actually have meaningful conversations with each other out in the world.
Yeah, it can be difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of like where we are now, you said that the rise of our current president, Donald Trump, that you didn't see it coming, but now looking back, you said it seems obvious to you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's the astrologer in me that I looked at his chart with my teacher, and we went through a certain kind of technique, an ancient technique. She showed it to me, and she showed me all the things in his chart that worked really well. And she said, so what do you think? And I was like, well, that makes me very uncomfortable. And this was in, like, October. Oh no, maybe September. And I was like, I knew that his chart was too good. he had some things that were too, they were kind of like the mark of somebody who is, I don't want to say kingly because he's not, but that
sure.
has that kind of thing that like there's an eminence in his chart. And so it made me deeply uncomfortable, and I knew at that moment that there was a very real possibility that it was going to happen.
That's fascinating.
But I put it away because I was like, it can't happen. That can't happen. And then all the, you know, everyone's like, yeah, she's totally going to win. You're like, okay, so what I was gearing up for was the fight for the fight against Hillary Clinton. I was like, okay, we're going to have to, you know, fight for our rights under this thing because, you know, she's who she is. And so I was like, okay, but that's where we'll be. And then when he got in, I was like, oh, no.
She's so envious of that fight now.
Yes.
She's like, give me that other fight.
Wait. Or has this, I don't know. It's the cost is yet to be completely understood, but has this woken us up in a way that wouldn't have? Has this woken up white people in a way that it wouldn't have? Has this woken up straight people in the way that it wouldn't have? Has this woken up non-trans people in a way that it wouldn't have? I don't know. Hopefully.
It's yet to be seen.
Yeah.
That's fascinating that you looked at his chart.
Yeah. Well, he has a really good birth time, like a birth time that's very solid. That's like, there's readings on birth times. And Hillary, we don't have her birth time. We don't have a solid birth time for her, of course, because she's a Scorpio. So she's like, no, I'm going to keep that secret.
What is a good birth time?
A good birth time is a good source. Is that you get a source, you get it from like a hospital record. That's a good birth time is like a reliable source.
As opposed to me being the morning.
Yeah, like somebody says somewhere, oh yeah, he was born around noon. That's like a shaky source.
Oh, right? I got you. I thought you meant that.
No.
Like the numbers were lined up. You're like, this is a good number.
No.
Oh, fascinating. What happens when you look at your chart? Do you see an eminence?
No. Do I see what?
You said that there was like some kind of like eminence on Donald Trump's.
You know, the longer that one lives, as one's alive, the more we understand about ourselves, but the more we also understand about our birth chart, if that's a thing that we want to use for self-exploration. And so the way in which my chart used to manifest was really quite difficult and difficult, painful. And now I've learned through a tremendous amount of healing on my own how to use the things on my chart that are really difficult for my work.
That's very powerful.
Yeah. I think if you can, and this is true in any kind of situation, if you can pour the heartbreak and the heartache and the rejection and the betrayal and all of the stuff that one feels into some sort of work, into some sort of creative something, then it can serve something bigger than you. But until we do that, we're just stuck with the pain. Right. And so, and it's not, you can't do that right away. It's like a learning curve. We all have to come to it on our own. But, you know, just even driving up here, remembering when I used to live in this area of town, like life was on one hand really exciting, but it was really hard. And it was really hard for a really long time. And I never thought that would end. Like, I never thought that would shift. And so I would look at my chart at that point and be like, yeah, it's look how hard it is. But now that I'm kind of on the other side of that, in a sense, knock on everything, that I feel like, oh, I can see things in myself and I can see things in my chart, therefore, that I didn't understand before. I didn't get how lucky this also is and how incredibly fortunate this thing is.
Yes.
The gift of whatever our burden is, if there is a gift in it, when we can get to use that, it's incredibly healing. And it is, I think, what we need in terms of our activism, right? Our activism has to also be healing, because we need to heal.
You're saying activism as a means to healing.
And healing as a means to activism.
Ah.
That they're the same thing. Like, healing is justice, right?
Yeah.
When we have the space to heal, then that's a kind of justice.
I think that something I see is people who have healed on their own, mm-hmm. and they don't then turn around to help somebody less privileged because they say, like, I deserve this. because I had trauma and I got over it.
That's not healing.
And yeah,
that's narcissism.
Yeah, I think that maybe that's like a phase, and like hopefully people get over that. But I think there's like a.
I wonder that. We were watching When We Rise last night, and I was thinking, like, where did all this go? You know, like, do the babies know that I feel like it's all got lost sometimes? I feel like we fought so hard, and so many people put their lives on, and so many people died, and so many of the whole thing, and, like, it feels like, at this point, as a person in this moment, it feels like I can go and watch the shows and do the stuff, but I feel like I don't know how much we learned from that.
I don't know. And there was activism, like, on the streets.
Yeah.
You know, not just, like, tweeting. There was, like, people, bodies in masses.
Yeah.
And I'm
showing up.
I want to know if we're getting back to that. This weekend in LA, there's a march.
Yeah.
I mean, they're happening a lot.
Right.
They're not drawing the crowds, like you said, though, like, that it used to draw. Mm. And we had more at stake then.
Yeah.
You know?
It's privilege.
Yeah.
Privilege when it's not, when there's privilege and comfort are mixed together, it can create a kind of toxic, it can be really a toxic kind of mix, because we forget the urgency that is needed in terms of making sure that everybody else is coming up. We get comfortable and then we get lazy.
Yes. And in such a diverse community of people, it's easy to say, like, you know, gays and lesbians are, like, doing great. Like, let's have a drink.
Right.
Like, still have your drinks, please. Yeah. But, you know, it's easy for that.
Right.
Why
aren't we up in arms about trans women being murdered? Why aren't we up in arms about black and brown trans women being murdered? Like, how is that not a thing where there is a massive swell? How are we not outraged about that?
And I want people to be. That's why we talk about it so much on the show.
Yeah.
Because I don't, like, want to forget. Because I mentioned that, like, it was life and death for us, like, you know, back then when we were revolting.
But it is.
And it still is
it
now.
Is.
Yeah.
It's very, very
exactly.
life and death.
And that is why...
there's so much hatred. Gender, non-conforming, anything. There's just evokes such an intense, extreme hatred.
Right. Because the argument
against
gay and lesbians is that it's right or wrong. And the argument against trans people is that... you do not exist. And that's a different fight.
Right.
You know what? We were talking about, like, erasure over, like, the centuries of stuff. Mm. I think that, like, Black Lives Matter is right now. Patrice Cullors, I believe, is one of the creators. And she's a queer woman of color. Mm-hmm. It's women started that group. Mm-hmm. And we talk about Black Lives Matter as an organization, not something founded by women. Mm-hmm. And then the fact that one of these women is queer.
I think they're all queer.
They all are?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Okay. So one or more are queer. I love that. I want to honor that. I think it's so easy to, like, ignore, like, the multifacets of our identities, because it complicates the narrative when you're talking for just 7 minutes on a talk show. Mm-hmm. You can't top all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that Patrice, especially, I recently read a bunch about her, so that's why I'm naming her, not the other women. But they saw that they said we have failed as Black Lives Matter trans women, and that they're being killed. And so they are doing work to address that exact issue. So, like, I just want to acknowledge people who are doing work.
Many people are doing work, and many people are
It's not the people in charge of the bigger organizations that we hear about.
Yeah.
You have said that you struggled with the legitimacy of your work as an astrologer. Mm. Is that something you still struggle with?
I don't think I do anymore, because what happened for me was when 45 got elected, probably many people just kind of went through a bit of a crisis, and I felt like, what am I doing with my life? Who cares about horoscopes? The world's gonna end. We gotta get going. So I really was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna be an astrologer anymore. And so what then, Channy? Like, what? I'm talking to myself.
Wait, I'm sorry. He got elected in November, which is fairly recently.
Yeah.
You were having that like inner turmoil then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a Jew, so I always have inner turmoil.
Oh, I just think you were, like, already established. You were Channy Nicholas then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, when that happened, it threw me into a kind of a career crisis where I was like, who cares? Who cares? I'm going to be spending my 2 days a week writing horoscopes? Like, are you kidding me? Like, what's going to happen? Like, this thing is going to burn to the ground. What do we need to do? And it brought up all of the stuff, all of the doubts and fears that I'd had about my career and over a long period of time. So anyways, I go through like the November, December, you know, Dark Night of the Soul to January just gets. And then by about March, what happened is that what I saw very clearly is that the work that I do is able to support people that are doing all sorts of different types of work as part of the resistance, as part of the, and maybe we don't want to use the word resistance, maybe as part of the recreation of society and the recreation of what justice looks like and the recreation of our lives. And so I thought, well, you know, I can't, it's not up to me to like value this or devalue this. This thing just is, and this is my thing to serve and do. So it kind of finally shut it up, actually.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm glad that you got around to that, because my first thought was that you give so many people so much value in their lives. And if you yell like Chaney Nicholas at a gay bar, people are like, yeah, did you see a Gaga? No, Chaney. People love you.
It's not something, I'm not related to that very much because I'm just sitting alone at home on my computer.
Like late at night or early in the morning.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So the work has a way better social life than I do. It just
so are you
goes out and does all sorts of things. It's like out partying all night, but I'm not.
The work is a big drinker.
Huge.
So are you aware at like, you're married.
Yes.
Are you aware that people like discuss like Chaney Nicholas as like a power couple with her like beautiful wife?
Oh.
Like, does that cross like your desk at all?
No.
Oh, that's so funny.
But I'm
here
so,
to tell you.
I'm so like, my wife is just the most amazing person on the planet. And she, I mean, her courage and her strength and her vision and her dedication to working with folks that are survivors of domestic violence is so incredible. And so for that people know about her work just makes me so fucked.
Yeah, she recently founded an organization, right? What is that called?
Yeah, she has an organization called Free From. It helps survivors of domestic violence financially. So because one of the reasons why people don't leave violent situations is because they can't financially do so. One of the number one reasons for homelessness for women and children is domestic violence. The rate of being murdered by your partner when you try to leave goes up exponentially. So the fact that people can't leave and have an economically sound life makes leaving that much harder. So all of these things are stacked up against them. So what Free From does is they help survivors start their own businesses. They help survivors sue for damages, which no survivors don't ever do that. And it's not something that is practiced often. So they're trying to like lead the way in helping survivors do that. And then they're also trying to help folks like clear their credit and reestablish credit, because often abusers will demolish people's credit, demolish their partner's credit so that they
can't
leave.
It's very useful.
Yeah. And so she's hopefully going to do that also for trans folks in New York that have also left domestic violence situations.
Wow.
Yeah.
This sounds like somebody that if I was casting a movie, I would cast as your wife. How did you meet her?
She's like a superhero.
how did you meet her?
We just met. She was on a trip from New York. She came to LA and we just met, like kind of like happened to meet in Beverly Hills.
That's wild.
Yeah. And she was living in New York, and then we had like a long distance thing for a very short time, and then I ended up moving out there, and then we got married.
That's so funny. How long have you been
married? We've been married just over 2 years.
Oh, it's still new. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. And it really, like, with her, you know, and Love Will Do This, like, the business just exploded. As soon as we met, everything just skyrocketed.
Really?
It was like a key component that I needed. And as soon as it came in, it stabilized me in a way that everything else could go in ways that it wanted to.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a support system for the first time in my life, I think. And it helped the work flourish.
I think that's amazing. I think it's like so valuable to hear that. This is a compliment, I promise. But yeah. I'm about to offend you.
Great.
You are. I don't know how old you are, but you're like
ancient.
77. You're 77.
Yeah.
At your age, to be able to say for the first time, I have this support system in my life is very freeing, I think, for people who, like, don't have that, who are younger than you. It's worth the wait.
Yeah. And as, like, it took forever. Like, she's much younger than I am. And so for her, I'm always like, you asshole. Like, you didn't have to wait long at all. But I had to wait forever. I just had to put my head down and work and hope and pray that it would change at some point in my life.
And I love that.
I met her and it instantly did. And it wasn't like I hadn't been working my ass off in therapy the whole time and doing Reiki and all the stuff. Like, I did all the stuff. And at one point I was just like, you know what? I've done it all. Like, where is the thing? When is this going to get better?
Right.
And I felt like that for a really long time. And I just had to keep showing up. And it was frustrating. So anybody out there who's like, you know, when will I get my turn? I get it. I totally get it. And you just have to keep doing what you can.
I love hearing that. Did that offend you?
No.
I don't have a segue to my next question,
okay,
but
great.
It's something I wanted
to
ask you. You, in an interview once, said that I believe that planets have spoken to you in your dreams.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you, like, talk a little about that. And also starting with, like, what form they take. Is it like a voice?
Yeah.
Is it like a gaseous body?
Sometimes sometimes I'm out in space and I'm witnessing the planets. Like, they're showing themselves to me, and then there'll be a booming, like, scary voice that comes with them.
Really?
And I've said this before too. It doesn't happen as much anymore because I think because I work so much. But when I wasn't doing the work, or when I was doubting that astrology was my way, then I would get bombarded with dreams from the planets or the asteroids or something.
Wow.
They would like a booming, resounding voice as I was waking up, like telling me to go do something or telling me something about a planet.
Kind of when you're, like, not following the way.
Yeah. Yeah, they get angry.
You mentioned the muse speaking to you earlier. Is that same voice, or is that separate?
It's a separate voice. It's a separate voice. It's a more, like, constant narration that's happening. And I'm always also scanning everything for an insight. And so everything I watch or read or take in or consume, and every conversation that I have, I'm a writer, so I'm always, like, gleaning. It's like, where's the pearl? And then one little idea, and then I can go and write something about it. But I'm always on the lookout for it.
I think that being queer probably gave you good training for that scanning, because we're, like, always, like, on guard.
Right.
You know, even especially growing up, you're, like, looking for safety. So that's that scanning.
Yeah.
I have to let you go, but this has been so much fun.
Oh my God, it's over already?
Yes.
It was so quick.
Thanks. If people want to find out more about you, should send them to your website?
Yeah, channynicholas.com. So channynicholas.
Fantastic. And
we'll
be back next week with another interview. Again, if you want to rate us 5 stars, leave a comment on iTunes. Also, if you have other suggestions for guests, Channy was actually recommended by Jill Danis, so thank you to her.
Thank you, Jill.
Yeah. And I think that's it. I tweet from Jeff Masters. If you want to connect with me there, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.